Nehemiah in the Old Testament. Some people call it Nehemiah. Looked like Nehemiah to me. Chapter number 4. The book of Nehemiah, chapter number 4. The Jews were here building the wall of God. And they had a lot of opposition as they labored and worked. I don't know who coined that phrase, get her done. Who did that? Who did that come up with that? Larry the Cable Guy, whoever he is. I heard Larry the Cable Guy on somebody's answer machine the other day. Somebody's answer machine had Larry the Cable Guy on it, on their cell phone. And he said, this is Larry the Cable Guy. Good Lord, why do you keep calling? Or something like that. A whole bunch of crazy stuff like that. But he made that. I've seen shirts and stuff, get her done. And I wanted to title the message that tonight, but I'm not going to because somebody said that wasn't a good thing. I don't know. I don't know nothing about Larry the Cable Guy. But tonight, Nehemiah chapter number 4, look at verse number 4. We'll read 4, 5, and 6, and then we'll skip over and read a few more verses. They're building the wall. Hear, O our God, this is 4:4, for we are despised. It's always been that way. God's people have always been despised. If the world likes you, you ain't right with God. You can put that down. They never have liked the Lord's people. They didn't like Jesus. And he said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. You don't gauge your spirituality on how this world likes you. If they like you, you ain't nowhere near right. The Bible said, we are despised. And turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity. And let not their sin be blotted out. Lord, what a prayer. They just praying, Lord, don't forgive these people no sins. Lord God, don't answer their prayers. Don't blot their sins out. What a prayer, man. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. They thought building that wall was the most important thing in the world. That's what's wrong with churches tonight. We don't feel like our work is the most important thing in the world. Verse 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the height thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Now, look over in verse number 20. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Now here's the way they worked. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. They didn't show up at 9, take a break at 10, work till 11:30, go to lunch, come back at 1, and quit at 3. They labored from the rising of the morning till the stars came out. And the reason they did is they wanted that job done. There's a major difference in working, doing the least you can get by with, just get paid, and working, trying to get a job done. If all you're working for is money, then you're not going to give a lot of production. But if you're wanting to get a job done, then you'll get somewhere. I'm going to ask you to help me tonight. I've not got a long message. I was going to preach a message tonight that I thought would be a help to us all and thrill our hearts. But see that little piece of paper right there? I jotted that down while I was down in Georgia the other night. And I'm burdened. The world says, I hear it all the time, people say, I'm stressed. I'm stressed. I never say that. The reason I don't say that, because I believe that's a world's terminology. And Christians don't operate like the world. We're not stressed out. We're burdened. The Bible terminology is we have a burden. There's a big difference. The world saying, I'm just stressed out. That's not Bible terminology. I guess if it was all right to say that, you could say I am. But since it's not Bible terminology, I guess you could say I'm burdened tonight. I am. I'm not going to misrepresent myself tonight, I'm burdened. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, to help me carry this burden that I'm carrying. It just so happened, I was afraid that this would happen, but it just so happened that we're coming down to the end of our building program and the youth rally at the same time. Couldn't be a worse time of year. I'm glad it is. I'm thankful we're getting it done, but it could not be. Y'all have no way of knowing what a burden just the youth rally itself is on me. I'm not going to stand up here and whine you tonight, because I'm built for stuff like this. God made me to carry a heavy load. I do better when I'm under pressure. I do. I always done better when I got a lot on me. Always have. I used to keep records of our church and still do. I keep the attendance records down. I know how many we had in Sunday school this time a year ago. I always did it at New Manna. I had records for years and years and years. And one of the most amazing things I ever noticed was, every time I was going through a real hard time, I saw the church grew like crazy and people got saved. Every time things were going good in my life, it just sort of stayed the same. And I believe when I get to heaven, when I look back, we'll see that we did better when pressure was on us. We did better when we was under a heavy load. And I must really be fixing to do good. Because, I mean, God must be getting ready to bless the fool out of me. Because I'm under a heavy load. We have 3 weeks from this coming Friday night will be the Giant Spring Youth Rally. I want to share my burden with you and ask you if you'll help me do 3 things to help us get where I want to be. I tell you what bothers me. What drives me crazy is thinking of those kids in Alabama. And those kids in Alabama getting excited, and they're all saying, "We're going to North Carolina. We're going to North Carolina." Man, that's where Brother Danny Castle preaches. Man, those mountain people love God. Man, I can't. And they talk to all their friends and everybody, and they spend hundreds, yea, even thousands of dollars, and come here and get motel rooms and miss school and have parents fuss at the preacher and people stay up and drive and miss work and all that and drive and then come in the youth rally, and it's sort of like, "Yeah, okay, I've been blessed. God's so good to me," you know, and just sort of, that bothers me. That bothers me. I think what an opportunity we have to reach a group of young people. What an opportunity is ours. And I advertise it on the radio. I make no apologies for it. I believe it with all my heart. I can't think of anything in this country that if I had a teenager and I wanted them to get something from God, that I wouldn't can't think of anything any better than what our youth rally will be at the Burke County Fairground. I mean that. I'm not trying to sound braggy. I'm not trying to sound ugly. But I'm telling you, the way it was last year, the year before, it was, I couldn't think of anything where I'd rather have a teenager than in that youth rally. We've got some good stuff planned. We hit them where they live. We use skits and things like that to get their attention, break the ice, break down their barriers, and walk, then hit them with the truth. You can't beat that combination. But I'm telling you, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes. All is vain unless God in His power and His blessings come and changes their life. Everything's a waste. All the money's a waste. All the games, the basketball, the horseback rides, the cotton candy, the funnel cakes, the wrestling, the boxing. It's all a big waste unless God in His power and blessings gets on it. At the same time, we're thinking about our building. Our building. We're getting close. We're really getting close. Barring some kind of unforeseen emergency or trick of the devil, we're really going to be moving in 6 to 8 weeks, if it's the Lord's will. 6 to 8 weeks. What I want to try to do, and you help me with this, and we can if everybody in here will help. What I'm going to try to do is move in toward the end of May and say June. See, we got April, May, June. 3,000, 6,000, 9,000. That's $9,000 rent and electricity here. If we leave off June, that's only 6. So if we'll all get together and push it, we can save ourselves $3,000 just by 2 weeks of pushing it up. I believe that'd be worth 2 weeks, don't you? Sure it would. And so I have those 2 burdens tonight,
and I'm asking our church to help me share those burdens. I promise you, when we get moved in the new building, I'm gonna say, everybody just relax and take off for about 2 days. And then we'll start something else. But I promise you tonight, I'll let you slide a little. Not that way, not backslide. I'll let you rest a little if you'll help me with these burdens, okay? Fair enough? I want to say 3 things about it. First thing I want to say is I hope that everybody will join me and pray. I need some people to help me pray. Dear God, we need to pray. Brother, I'm telling you, everybody that ever got anything done for God in the past, done it on their knees. I'm all for the fellowship. I love the fairground. I rode by there the other day, going over at Brother Roger's house, and man, my heart began to jump. I could see the decorations and the balloons and the cars. I'm excited. I love the fairground over there. But it's not any good unless we pray that God will get in it. We're on our 40-day fast right now. Somebody in this church is fasting right now. God bless you, whoever you are. Others will be fasting tomorrow. Others Tuesday. Others Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But we also need to pray. I'm going to call on you ladies to help me pray. Please pray. Ladies, pray. Ladies, pray. Maybe God might burden your heart to get up 15 minutes earlier every morning for the next few weeks and just get down and say, Dear Lord, would you please touch us one more time. God, we don't deserve it. God, we don't. But please, Lord, would you touch our youth rally? Maybe the Lord would have you to stay up 15 minutes later and maybe do that a few nights. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you'd find somebody in here and say, I want to be your prayer partner. I remember this time last year, some of you ladies and girls here, remember y'all were meeting and praying on Saturday night. Maybe meet at the new building up on Shining Light Mountain and get up there and just, I'm talking about just getting down on our knees. We still do believe in that, don't we? Listen, if we don't believe in that, brother, we're out of business. If we don't believe that the answer is on our knees, brother, we're just playing religion. This is just a bunch of junk here tonight, not wasting our time, worth wasting our time on. I don't believe we're wasting our time. This is not a religious show. Brother, we do believe God still answers prayer. I do believe you're not wasting your time when you're on your knees. I do believe God in heaven will still hear it. I do believe that if enough of us will pray and fast and seek His face, that God will do something in our families' lives. You wouldn't believe the people that I've had tell me. They say, Brother Danny, I seen my daughter go to the altar to youth rally. I seen my son go to the altar to youth rally. I brought my cousin and my sister, and they went to the altar and got saved. You know why that is? Because we prayed and we prayed and we sacrificed and we had a prayer time. We're having prayer meeting every Saturday night for the next 4 weeks here at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. I understand that gas is high. I understand. It took $52 to fill up my car the other night on the way home. I understand that. Some of you live a good distance and you can't. I mean, you say, Brother Danny, I can't afford to drive all the way to church Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday. And if that's true, I understand that. And God does. But you can pray at home. And what about the rest of you? I need some of our men that'll say, Preacher, we believe in this. We believe in you. We believe in our church. We believe in the youth rally. And get on this altar. We prayed last night, but we sure could have used some help. We prayed and sang last night. But listen, you can't expect a bunch of teenagers to do all of our praying for us, mamas and daddies. We need some adults. We need some men. We need some women that'll say, hey, I'll pray. Let me tell you something, people. We don't get blessed just by accident. We sure don't get blessed because of our talent. We don't get blessed because of our facilities. We'd only get blessed because the Lord said, asking you, you shall receive, seek and you shall find. I'll pour water on him that's thirsty. Call unto me and I'll answer thee. God wants us to pray. Amen. Amen. Come on now, amen. Amen. I read about praying Payson, who had calluses on his knees, where he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed till literally he had calluses on his knee. I read about John Wesley. I read about the man who preached revival I got saved in, Uncle Joe Parson. Every one of them had one thing in common. They get up at 4 or 5 in the morning and pray. Let me ask you a question. The Lord asked the disciples one night, He said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? When's the last time some of you prayed 1 hour. 1 hour. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pray. And I say, Lord, I'm going to pray. And I'll do real good. I mean, I pray every day, but you know what I mean. I mean, I'm going to really pray. And I'll do real good for a while. And then little by little by little by little, you catch it getting shorter and shorter and shorter. First thing you know, you're in a ritual. Lord, I pray you bless my family today. And bless our church. And bless mom and daddy. And bless everybody. And bless all my missionaries. And that's good. I'm not against that. But brother, I'm telling you, you know what we need to learn how to do? We need to learn to get down in there and wrestle in prayer. I mean wrestle in prayer. Some of these guys wrestle. They know what I'm talking about. These boys wrestle at camp. I mean, brother, it's, you don't go to sleep while you're doing that. I'm telling you tonight, we need to learn how to pray. And we do need to pray. We do need to pray on and on. Jesus prayed all night. We need to just say, Lord, here I am. Lord, 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 and not give up until God hears our prayers and answers. Are y'all listening to me tonight? We need to pray, people, and pray. And when it's hard, pray some more. And when it feels like you can't get through, just keep praying anyway till God comes on the scene and blesses us once again. Like that little boy. They said, the little boy laid down and go to sleep one night. He said, Daddy, can you give me a drink of water? He said, son, I told you to shut up. I ain't getting you no water. He said, I told you to get a drink of water before you went to bed. About 5 minutes, he said, Daddy, will you bring me a drink of water? He said, you shut your mouth. I told you I ain't getting you no drink of water. If you say that one more time, I'm going to come in there and beat the fire out of you. He got real quiet in about 5 minutes. He said, Daddy. He said, what? He said, will you bring me a drink of water? He said, I told you I was going to burn and beat the fire out of you. He said, Daddy, when you come in here to beat the fire out of me, will you bring me a drink of water? Now, I mean, that's just persistence, brother. That's persistence. That's the way we ought to do the Lord. Lord, would you bless the youth rally? And the Lord says, why should I bless you? You ain't. You're right, Lord. Would you bless the youth rally? I am nothing. But would you bless it anyway? I don't deserve it. But would you bless it anyway? Lord, we don't deserve it. But would you bless it anyway? God, we don't need your blessings. We don't deserve all the things you've done for us. But would you bless it anyway? That's what God wants us to do. Just pray and not give up. And not give up. We're going to have an all-night prayer meeting the Friday night before the youth rally, in which we get in here and we just sing and pray and sing and pray and sing and pray. I am a firm believer that when a church gets down to business and pray, look, people, we have good services all the time. We have great service last Sunday, but wouldn't you like to see the unusual? We'd like to see your family members coming in here weeping and getting right with God. You say, Brother Danny, we're in the last days. That don't happen. It don't happen no more, but it ain't because it's the last days. Listen, God's still the same God He's always been. God ain't never changed. He ain't weak. Just because it's 2008 don't mean God can't do the same thing. We just say, oh, well, there ain't no church that has a move of God no more. And that's about the truth. I don't know of a church nowhere hardly around where God's really, really moving it. Revival spirit. I mean, it's few and far between. But that don't mean God can't. That don't mean God's not able. He's still able to do it if we'll pay the price. Pray on and on, for God will answer your prayer. I remember one time I was driving out the road in Marion, long time ago, before most of you even knew me. I think it was before we even started New Manor Baptist Church. I'm almost sure it was. Maybe right. I was 21, 22, and there was an old red barn out on Highway 70 west below McDowell High School, right across the street from where Walmart is right now. Walmart wasn't there. Wendy's wasn't there. There's just a big old field, and there's a big old red barn set over in that field. How many of you remember that old red barn? See that? There's a bunch of you in here. Well, they started having dances and honky-tonk in that thing, and I remember praying one day, and I said, Lord, save that old red barn. God, please. God, do something. Get that mess out of there. And it wasn't very long after that till a friend of mine, Brother Delane Woody. Many of y'all know Brother Woody. Somehow or another, Woody found out who owned that barn, and Woody got rented that barn and had a revival in it. He said, you know the old red barn out there on 70? I said, I sure do. He said, we're going to have revival. I said, glory to God. I prayed for that to happen. You say, oh, it's just an accident, Brother Danny. Well, I don't know if it was or not, but I felt like God answered my prayers. We had the awfulest revival in there ever was. I think that was the first time I'd ever met the Parker family. They came and sang. Thelma got up there and sang. She looked just like she does right now. That was 30 years ago. And boy, she stood up there and sang. And I remember them singing. And there's a boy named Pinky Beck. I don't know if any of y'all know Pinky Beck. There's a boy named Ken Wilson in Nebo. And Ken said, he said, I'm going to pray. He wanted Pinky to get saved so bad he couldn't stand it in that revival. And he said, old Ken was a wild man. Ken was wild. They called him Wild Man Wilson. He lived right across the road, Patty and Hazel and them back there. And boy, I tell you, old Ken, he had problems, but he's a crazy man, buddy. He shot John Wayne on TV one time with a gun. Actually shot his TV. He got drunk. He got mad at John Wayne. Blah, you ain't going to do that no more. and Ken, he told the Lord, I'm just telling you, you don't have to be John Wesley to get your prayers answered. You don't have to be Miss Kerr to get your prayers answered. Old Ken, he was rough. And old Ken got down to business one day and he prayed. He said, dear God, save Pinky. Dear God, save Pinky. Dear God, if you'll save Pinky, he didn't eat. He fasted all day. He said, God, if you'll save Pinky, I'll run the aisles. Well, sure enough, that night came, and I preached on hell. Would he let me preach that night? And I didn't even know Pinky. And buddy, I'll tell you what, I know a boy named Pinky sounds funny, but that was back before it sounded funny. And he was a pretty tough boy. And I'll tell you something, brother, that night, sure as I'm standing here, they gave the invitation, and Pinky Beck got saved. Was anybody there that night? I remember, it was y'all, you heard about it, I'm sure. Old Pinky got saved, and got called to preach, and Ken run out. He sure did. He run the aisle. What about that? Say, Lord, save my grand youngins. I'll run the aisle. Lord God, say, I'll run around the fairground. We'll probably bury you because you'll have a heart attack if you run around the fairground. But I tell you what a way to go. Amen. Shouting and praising God for answering our prayers. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. And I'm asking you to help me pray. Remember John Wesley, reading about John Wesley, and they come to the Methodist church and ask John Wesley, they said, what's the secret of this great move of God? We want to see, where's the power coming? He said, follow me. And John Wesley went down some steps, and he went down a little hallway, and there was a little room that was underneath the pulpit in the basement. And they said, we don't see your heating apparatus, and we don't see the fires up this whole building. He opened up his room, and there was a gang of men in that room on their knees praying. And he said, that, my friend, is the power of Methodism. I know these guys on TV get on, and they say, well, we know Greek and Hebrew, and we got this big show on the platform. It looks like Hollywood. They'll have an orchestra and all of that. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have some talent or some organization. We could use a little more of it. But I'm telling you, that is no substitute for the power of God touching people's lives. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way we're going to have God's power is all of us sacrifice a little bit. Turn that TV off, like Brother Mo said this morning, and turn that thing off a little while, and get on our prayer boat and stay in this altar and say, God, get a hold of my life and my family's life. Y'all know, when I hurt my knee a year ago, I just had my year anniversary the other day, and the doctor told me, he said, now it'll take a year before you can get back. And it feels real good right now, but it still don't want to bend all the way, and it still hurts right there. It may be another year before I'm completely back 100%. And every time I kneel down to pray, that thing hurts when I kneel on it. So I got myself doing like this now. I just kneel like this all the time. And I feel like a hypocrite. And so what I do now is I just lay flat on my belly and pray. But you don't have to do either one of them. You may be physically to where you can't even get down on your knee. That don't matter. It's good to. But I'm telling you, God, you get on your knees down in here in your heart. And brother, get that head, that heart bowed before God and get a hold of God. I wish somebody get burdened tonight. I pray that somebody in here tonight, maybe a little lady. Maybe just one of you men. You don't have to broadcast it and tell everybody, but you'll get in your prayer closet and you'll pray the prayer of God. That's why I appreciate Miss Kerr. I call her. I aggravate her to death at youth rally time. I say, pray for me, please, Sister Clay. I know you got girls in Florida. I know you got people everywhere, but pray for Brother Danny. Please pray for me. And I'm asking you tonight, Luke, pray for me. Pray for the youth rally. Pray for the weather. Pray for their travel. Pray the Holy Ghost will come down and do a work. Wouldn't y'all like to see that? Wouldn't you hate for the youth rally to be like it is in here tonight? Ugh. Let's pray. And then, another thing we need to do, I need you to help me do, is some work. Work. We're going to get all the work done we can get done at the building this week. Because I got to go to Kentucky week after next. I also preach revivals this time of year as much as a full-time evangelist. And I ain't crying. I'm made for this kind of stuff. It's what I do better when I'm like this. Helps me. Helps me keep busy. I do better under a burden. I preach better under a burden. So I'm not crying, but we got work to do. And we got people in here. Let me tell you. We got people in here that I'm going to be calling on you to do some work. We got all that work that goes on at the fairground, mowing the grass, setting up the chairs, all the decorating. I'll be preaching that first night. So Brother Mike is going to get everybody to load those chairs up, you know, and everything. All of that done on that last week. But then I'm going to be asking a bunch of you to help me in the message that I'm going to bring Saturday night. It's going to have some skit and stuff in it. And I'm going to be asking y'all to help. We're going to have to meet. We're going to have to. In plainer words tonight, I'm asking you. I'm pleading with you. I'm begging y'all. Be willing to sacrifice some time. I know the grass is growing. Mine needs mowing right now. I know it's time to plant gardens. I understand the weather's getting pretty and you want to go on a picnic. But please, I plead with you. Help me work. Let's get this work done. Last Monday night, we had a crew over to New Church. We had a crew. Ladies come over there. They swept. They mopped. I mean, they're working on the chandelier. I mean, Lord. It was great, but there's a whole bunch more to do over there, and we're going to be doing that here in the next few weeks. You say, well, Brother Danny, I don't have any skill at all. Anybody in here can take a rake and shovel some mulch, and we are flat going to be having some mulch. Lord, we got enough mulch to do. You could mulch this room 10 times for the mulch that we're going to have to do. Thank God Todd has a lot of mulch. Todd's got a pile of mulch up there. You could lose this building in, he don't need that. That's in his way. I'm going to be hitting him up for that mulch. Amen. I mean, listen, brother, around that sign over there, and my other son-in-law, his daddy's got big old rocks. He's got big old rocks. Oh, Lord, he's got rocks 5 times big as that pulpit, or big as that piano, and the pulpit. And he said, Danny, you can have all them rocks you want. I said, good, Alan. I said, well, I want them. That's going to be your donation to our new church. I want them rocks. And we're going to put, wouldn't it look good around that big sign to have some big old rocks about that big and pretty mulch? And some of you ladies, we need a woman's touch. I want some flowers and pretty azalea bushes and some of them that are red. And I mean, just that'll pop out there at you. Amen. And be a witness and a testimony. I'm telling you, we got something everybody can do. Amen? Amen. Work. Work. You say, well, Brother Danny, I have to work all the time. I've got a bunch of kids. I can't. Oh, I'm fixing to tell you what you can do. You can pray and you can give. You can give. Now, we've got some work that needs to be done over there this week. The man who was going to put down her carpet, daughter's in real bad shape in Chapel Hill, he can't do it. And so I talked to a preacher friend of mine about doing it. He said, Danny, you get me some help, we'll do it. So we need some people this week, maybe about Thursday. I went, Brother Andy's off Thursday and Friday to put down carpet. He said, I don't know how to put down carpet. I didn't say you had to know how to put down carpet. You know how to pull. You know how to hand stuff. You know how to hold something. That's all we need. We need some, if there's any guys in here that know how to put down baseboard, we need a bunch of baseboard put down. If there's any, then we're going to ask you ladies as we get down to the end to help our decorating. I was down to that church this week in Georgia, and when I walked in there, I said, there's something special about this little church. The little church auditorium was about half as big as this. And I'm telling you, they had a little choir got up there. They didn't have a third as many as we got, and they blast you out. They sung, and it was good. Of course, they didn't have insulation overhead, you know, and the sound carried out of sheetrock ceiling. And That little church, everywhere I looked, there was little signs. And there was little, they had little things like this made out of iron, a thing like that on the wall. I don't know what you call them little things. It looks like a little shelf about that long. You ladies know what junk like that is. Men don't think of stuff like that. But it's made out of wrought iron, black, and it was round like this. And then it'd have a little thing that says, faith or hope or something. And I, you know what I said? I said, there's been a woman in this church. That's a woman's work. And I noticed that pastor's wife, buddy, he is blessed with a wonderful wife. She was everywhere doing stuff. And he came in there and moved the screen one day for me to do my video presentation. And his wife was in that church in the middle of the day with a jean skirt on down to there, standing up on a ladder, helping her husband work on that church. Boy, I thought, man got a wife like that, he ought to thank God for it. Everywhere in that church, you walked in the restroom. In the restroom, there was little signs up, and they had a little bowl of mints, you know, and stuff like that. That's a woman's touch on a church. Lord God, give us somebody like that. Amen. This church here got a man's touch on it. Amen. It's rough. It's rough. And I mean, I love it, but we need some ladies that'll be willing to just put the woman's touch on it. I mean, I don't want it to look like a, you know, queer eye for the straight guy church. But I'm telling you, it balanced it out real good. It's impressive, really. It smelled good, even. Amen. They didn't have no bus kids. But let me say thirdly tonight, and I'm through. I want you to help me give. We all have something to be proud of and thankful for. I wasn't lying to you the other Sunday when I told you what happened to me. For you that wasn't here, this is the truth. If you don't believe, if you believe this is an accident, I mean, you just help yourself. I got a check in the mail for $106 from my insurance company, homeowners insurance company. I couldn't believe it. Why they sent me a check, I have no idea. Check, Danny Castle, $106. And I said, well, glory to God, I got $106. And as soon as I got it, the Lord said, now you've been telling people to give extra, and anyway, you give that to the church. And my flesh said, well, that's mine, and you blessed me with that, and I could use it here, and I could use it there. And remember the other day, and the Lord said, no, you've been telling people you wouldn't ever even know this, fam, since it ain't costing you nothing. It ain't really nothing you'd have never known the difference. Now you give that check. And I said, okay, Lord. I signed it, brought it to church that Sunday before last. That Friday night, I went down to Manor Baptist Church in Spartanburg, preached that sermon. There was about this many people here, as many as is in these two sections right here. About half as many as we have here tonight. There's a pretty good crowd here tonight. And I remember, I sit up there and preach. Preacher took up an offering, and when it was over, he handed me a little check. And when I got home, I opened up that little check, and it was $106. It's truth. That's the truth of my hand up.
You say, that's an accident. Come on now. What are the odds? Now, if it was 100, I'd just say, oh, well, coincidence. What are the odds of an insurance check sending you a check for 106? Not 100. I mean, what's the odds of a church writing you a check for 106? Cheapskates? They ought to round it off to 110. That's what I always tell them. I always say, if we take an offering to somebody, it's $142. I say, give them 150. You know, my goodness, don't be such a tight one. They give me $106. I spent that one. But I tell you what I've done.
I know what you're thinking. Why didn't you give that one to church, Mr. Spiritual? Well, bless God, I gave my first one. That's more than some of you would have done.
Well, anyway, I've been doing this every week. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm trying to tell you I need your help. I've been trying to give at least $30 or $40 every week extra. And mine comes out like this. We're over at the church, and we need a bunch of stuff, and they'll say, this costs $40. I'll give them $40 out of my pocket, and they go buy it. I don't come and tell Heather, reimburse me. I say,
That's just a little extra I can give on the church. Now, if you ain't got it, you have to be. I'm not fussing. If you have to be in remember, I'm not saying, well, Lord, Brother Danny, I ain't got it. I'll go broke. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, if you can, everybody give a little extra. 40 here, 100 here. Let's act like this. Act like you had an abscess tooth. Oh! Act like you had one. You really didn't have one. My mom had one. We had to take her to the dentist the other day, and I forgot what it cost. It was like, God, it's $100 and something. Does that sound right? $100 and something? Okay. You did not have an abscess tooth. So just give $100. And you don't even have to hurt. Amen? That's right, brother. That's right. Glory to God. I'm going to give $100 Sunday because I didn't have an abscess tooth. Amen? Really? I'd rather give it. Listen, I know a guy a long time ago who held his tithes back, and his tithes was $35, and he didn't give them one Sunday morning. And the next day he got up and had a bad tooth, and this was 30 years ago, and he went and had to have his tooth pulled, and it cost him $35. You say, well, it happened anyway. I don't know if it would or not. God let the children of Israel choose last for 40 years in the wilderness. They can keep your teeth from rotting if you'll brush them and pay your tithes. Give. Give. Give a little here, a little there. Sometimes on Sunday night when I'm up here taking an offering, slip another 20 in there. I know what let's do. Let's fix it so that the picnic won't cost us nothing this year. All the ladies bring a cake or some dessert, and all the men, everybody bring a pack of hot dogs. I mean, just stuff like that. Say $500, just like that. Ain't that right? I mean, something probably costs us $500 for that picnic. If everybody, there's enough of us in here. There's enough people in here that love our church. If you know, bring some drinks, bring some hot dogs. That's like throwing a $500 offering. And you say, Brother Danny, you worried? Yeah, I am. I am. We're coming down to the end now. And I got so much money designated for everybody. I've got so much for the paving men. We owe the heat and air conditioning man $20,000. We owe the sound man over $11,000. We owe the alarm system man $4,000. We owe our material for the grading on the hill about $8,000. We owe the parking lot $60,000. And I've got it all figured out. And when it comes down here in the next few weeks, it's going to be just barely getting it. That's not counting our insurance that we paid $4,000 this week and $9,000 more rent on this place if we have to stay in here till June. $6,000 if we don't. I'm just saying tonight, I believe God's able. These people here, they worked till the stars appeared. They worked. Listen, if you can't do nothing but just say, hey, I'll help a man stretch out carpet, that's better than us having to pay somebody $25 an hour to lay carpet. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we can get it done, brother. We can get it done. I know the devil don't want us to do it. I know half the churches in town probably praying we'll fail. I know that there'll be people all over this country saying, I can't stand that church. Why do you bless him, God? Why do you bless that? Why do you bless him? And the Lord said, because I bless you too if you get your heart right. That's right. That's what the Lord wants. He wants our heart right. There's people that don't care if we fail or not. But I know God wants us to be blessed. Amen. And He wants us to open up a soul saving station. And He hates, the devil hates what's going on over there. He hates it. Don't be just a spiritual hitchhiker. You know what a hitchhiker is, don't you? A hitchhiker is somebody who's standing on the side of the road. And I pick them up, but the only reason I do is because I believe the Lord wants to do a witness to them. For a long time, they're standing out there saying, hey, buddy, guess what? I got a deal for you. I'm going to let you pay for that car, buy tires, put gas in it, pay the insurance, tag, registration, thousands of dollars a year spent on gas expenses, and I'm going to give you the privilege of taking me where I want to go. That's what a hitchhiker is. That's where a lot of people in church are. They don't want to pay. They don't want to pray. They want to sacrifice. They just want to hitch a ride on into heaven. But I'm telling you, if everybody do it, you say, Brother Danny, I'm getting up in years and I can't come down there. I'm not stupid. I'm not asking you to. I'm just saying if everybody will pray and those that can will give and those that can will work, we'll get the job done. And everybody can pray. Everybody can't give. Everybody can't work. But everybody can pray. If you're alive, you can pray.
Let's get the job done.
I'm asking you tonight, please, bear down here in the next few weeks. Come on, Miss Desi. Brother Jason, I'm asking you tonight, if you'll get a burden, it might mean the difference of some boy or girl going to hell or heaven. Will you get a burden for the youth rally? Will you come out and help us pray Saturday night at 8 o'clock? Will you help us? Will you say, Preacher, I'll help at the bus kids picnic, serve food? Will you say, Brother Danny, I'm going to give extra? You know, I mean, you don't have to tell me, but you know what I mean. We need somebody just to dig a big hole and put a flagpole in it, put concrete. Is any of you men could do that? Man, that needs to be done tomorrow. Tomorrow. We're going to get one of them big augers and drill a big hole in the ground, put that flagpole down there on concrete. Can somebody do that? I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff like that to be done. Brother Lord's got a load of trash over there. Fill this altar up almost. We need some help taking that trash. Just a bunch of stuff like that. Do you care? I hope you do. It hurt my feelings awful bad if I thought you didn't. I want to say, I make excuses for you all the time. I say, well, they're having a hard time and gas is high. And you know, I try, somebody comes, where's everybody at? And I make excuses for you. And sometimes you deserve it. Sometimes we just get cold and don't care. I wonder tonight, how many just say, Brother Danny, we're going to do what we can. Let's stand.